This is Doug Miller. I am delighted that you are here with me this morning to share with me one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible, Acts 16. Stick around and we'll talk about it.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are back again with what is to me one of the most exciting chapters in the whole Bible and in the whole history of the early church. This one touches me, and I hope it will you too. So bring your Bibles along. Open up to chapter 16 of Acts. Call a friend. Tell them to listen in as well. Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this word go out to as many as we can get it out to and as far out as we can get it. And to this end, we require and we must have your prayers and your support. I hope and I trust you will pray for Dialogue. Just write it down. If we have meant anything to any of you out there, if we have been any kind of a blessing to you, pray for Dialogue. And we would love to hear from you. Always a pleasure to hear from our listeners, to know that you're there, that we are reaching out to you. So write to us. Dialogue. Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. If you didn't get that, keep your writing materials handy. Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. If you wish to email us, Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, Dialogue Ministries at sbcglobal.net. If you wish to pull up our webpage or pull it down or whatever you do with it, it is Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, .org, and you can go on there and see a picture of me, and boy, that's exciting, and you can pull down these messages and listen to them, and it is for free and absolutely no obligation to any of you. Should you wish to call, our telephone number, area code 405-535-9089. Now, don't be disappointed if I don't answer, because I won't answer. You'll get a recording. Just leave a message. I'll get back with you. All right. I think that covers all of that. Acts 16. Acts 16. Last time we saw Paul and Barnabas splitting up. In anger, as brethren sometimes do, over John Mark, Barnabas' nephew. Well, after they split their ways, and I said it last time, the Holy Spirit follows Paul. So I have to assume that Paul is the one that was right in this deal. And if he wasn't right, well, what he was doing was the most important of what was going on, because we don't know what Barnabas did after this. We know that John Mark, after this, wrote one of the Gospels. But we don't know what happened to Barnabas. But we know that Paul picked up this guy Silas, a man named Silas, and off they go together through Syria and Cilicia. They are visiting the churches out there. Many assemblies had been established, and these are Gentiles. Then came he, that is Paul, to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, or Timotheus. And Timotheus is a name, it's a Greek name, and it means honored of God, or one who honors God, perhaps. Theos is the Greek word for God, and temia is to honor or to honor. something or someone. So that's what the name means. And we find out something about this man. Now, Paul and Timothy, if you know anything about the Bible, the New Testament, if you have read anything about this guy, Paul, and any of his writings, you know that he and Timothy became so close that Paul considered him, he was like Paul's son. And Paul calls him his son in the faith. He and Timothy had a deep, deep love one for another. Now, who is this guy, Timothy? Well, he was a young man. He was a young man like Mark was. And he was half Jew and half Greek. But for all practical purposes, let's face facts. This young man was a Greek. He had a Greek name. He had been raised as a Greek in a Greek-speaking area, and there is no indication that he was anything other than a Greek, other than his mother was a Jew, and we know about his mother really from 2 Timothy, the second letter to Timothy, and we know something about her. We know that his mother was a lady named Eunice. We would call her Eunice, the Greek Eunike, and his grandmother's name was Lois, and we know that she was Jewish, and we know that they were godly women, women of faith. We don't know anything about Timothy's father other than that he was a Greek, and that's all that we're ever told about him. But we know something about Timothy. Timothy was a Christian before Paul ever met him. He was already, he had been saved. The gospel had reached to where he was. He had believed the gospel. And we can be sure, because of what Paul wrote in the first chapter of 2 Timothy, that his mother, Eunice, or Eunike, a name which means good victory. It's also, this is also a Greek name. We can be sure that his mother also was a believer. Here were people who had believed the gospel. How do we know that? Because of the second verse of chapter 16. It says of Timothy that he was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Now, that is important. I want to say this to all of you young people out there in particular, and to all of you. You know, you hear a lot of people who they would have you believe, well, I don't care what so-and-so thinks. I don't care what they think of me. I'm not here to please men. I'm so forth and so forth. Oh, please. If you have an individual who cannot get along with the brethren, you've got a problem. You've got a problem with this man. Now, that won't, I understand that that won't always work. I understand that that you can have assemblies that go so haywire and crazy that, you know, they're carried away in wrong directions. And it may be that some individual who really is solid and sound in love comes in and tries to correct it. And they're on the outs. And you could say, well, he's not getting along with the brethren. Yeah, I understand that. But as a rule of thumb and generally, where you have an individual who cannot get along with other believers, that individual, as a rule of thumb, once again, and generally, you're going to find he's a troubled individual. There is a man who was very dear to me. He's long since gone home to be with the Lord. And my good brother, Mark Hitchcock, and I have discussed him many times, because we both knew him and knew him well. And Mark and I have agreed, of all the Bible teachers that we have ever known or met or sat under, this man was outstanding. This man, to me, is the finest Bible teacher it's ever been my pleasure to meet, and I've met a lot of them. And Mark and I have discussed him more than once, And once again, we are in agreement on this. And I remember one time we were talking, Mark, I ran into Mark down at the YMCA, and we were talking about this guy. And Mark said to me, you know, though, where you've got a man who cannot get along with the brethren, you've got a real problem. And I said, you sure do. This guy was at odds with and arguing and fighting with the brethren all the time. And he ultimately wound up more or less on the outside of the assembly looking in. He just couldn't get along with the brethren. Isn't it comforting in verse 2 of chapter 16 of Acts here to read about Timothy, that he was well reported of by the brethren? He was well reported of. Here was a young man, and all of these guys, all of these brothers here said, this is a good man. He is a solid young man, and he, you know, he loves the Lord, and he loves the brethren, and he is solid in the Scriptures. And I don't know what all they said of him, but what could you say? He was well reported of. And for that reason, look at here in verse 3, him would Paul have to go forth with him. Now, we saw an earlier, this young man, John Mark, back in the end of chapter 15 there, Paul said, I'm not taking him with me. You know, he's too immature, he's too flighty, he you can't count on him. And he's not going out there with me. But this Timothy, and Paul didn't even know him at this point, but he listened to the brethren. And he said, and I can just imagine Paul saying, you know, well, I had a young brother that I would love to have had with us, but and we need someone to go along and help us. And I'd like to take this man, Timothy. He's young, but I think he's the very kind of guy I'm looking for. Now, Timothy clearly was not a perfect man either. He had problems. But nevertheless, Paul said, I want to take him. And then we get in verse 3 here an interesting thing, and I don't quite know what to make of this one. I don't know what to make of this one. Paul took him and he circumcised him. And it says, because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. Now, what to make of this? Well, I said just a little bit ago, Paul was not a perfect man. Paul, you know, we saw at the end of this, of the 15th chapter there, you know, you might say, well, I don't think Paul acted right here. I don't. Well, Paul wasn't a perfect man. And if you ask me, here was a major mistake. Why Paul ever took this young Greek, which is what he was really, and circumcised him is quite beyond me. The author of the book of Galatians, the author of the book of Romans, the man who went up to Jerusalem in Acts 15, as we saw, to put this before the brethren up there and the apostles, whether or not these Gentiles needed to be circumcised. Why in the world he ever took this young man and circumcised him? Well, we know why. The book tells us here. It was because of the Jews. And out of concern, he didn't want to offend the Jews. Well, maybe he was right. But I don't think so. Maybe some of you disagree with me on this. Maybe you think he should have done this. Well, and you could be right. But for me, I just don't see it. I don't know why in the world he did it, but he did it. And this is not the last time we're going to see Paul get into trouble or do something that I don't think he should have done because he didn't wish to offend the Jews. Now, Paul was a Jew. He never denied that. He never left off being a Jew. He always considered himself a Jew. But once again, you go back and read the letter to the Galatians where he withstands Peter and calls him down to his face for what Peter was doing and why he did this, I don't know. But he did it. He did it. So now we've got Timothy circumcised. And I understand that that circumcision lays you low. And I don't know how long it took old Timothy to get over this, but he did get over it. And finally they leave together, and they're going through the cities and delivering them to the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were in Jerusalem. And in verse 5, we have the churches established in the faith and increasing in number daily. So there is a tremendous growth in the faith here. There are a lot of people being saved, a lot of new churches being established. Now, let's go on into, and we get to, once again, to me, something that's very exciting. These guys are heading north, up the coast of what we would today call Turkey. So let's see. They've gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia. Actually, they're probably into the interior of Turkey here. And were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Now, what does this mean? Well, it means what it says, for one thing. I don't know how the Holy Ghost forbade them to do this. I don't know how he stopped them, but he stopped them. And what do we see here? Well, first off, we see clearly the Holy Ghost is a person, the third person of the Trinity, we would say, but this is not just some impersonal force. This is a person, one of the triune God, and the one who, in this dispensation in which we are living, in which the Lord Jesus, as a man, is back in heaven at his Father's right hand in glory, and God the Father is in heaven, who is in the earth? Why, it's the Holy Spirit, isn't it? And it is the Holy Spirit who is here to exalt Christ Jesus, to show people the things of Christ, to lift him up, and to aid and abet in the establishment of these churches. It's the Holy Spirit who is working in this earth, in this dispensation. And you need to understand, and we don't want to confuse the persons of the Godhead, do we? It's the Holy Spirit here. How he forbade, I don't know. But I know that in Asia here, where they couldn't preach the word, is Turkey. It's what we would today call Turkey. And they go into Mysia, and they want to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. Now this, I just want you to see this, and I particularly want all of you out there who are concerned about seeing this gospel go out, and that should be all of you. That should be every one of you. I cannot tell you how many times in my experience that I have gotten up and preached before a group and seen what seemed to me to be absolutely no effect whatever. I cannot tell you how many times I have given out the gospel and seen what seemed to me an utter indifference to it. I cannot tell you how many times I have prayed to the Lord to open up certain doors, and they didn't open. And, you know, you say, you want to get before the Lord and say, Lord, aren't you concerned about these people? Don't you want to see them saved? Let me tell you something. My timing is not God's timing. God, in his infinite wisdom, knows exactly what he's doing. And what we're going to see here is, did God want the gospel preached in Asia, preached in Bithynia, preached in Mysia? Of course he did. But there was something else he wanted. And he wanted Paul and Silas and Timothy, and Luke was with them. We learned that very quickly here. He wanted them doing something else. Namely, he wanted them to go into Europe. And they have come forbidden by the Holy Spirit. And for those of you who are out here preaching, giving out the gospel, trying to see people saved, working and laboring, Don't get discouraged. Keep praying and keep, and it is not, you know, it is not up to you to bring fruit out of these things. That's a good thing to know. I have no obligation myself to see to it that anyone gets saved. What I do have an obligation to do is to give out the gospel and to leave the results to God. So here are these men, Paul, Silas, Timothy, Luke, and Luke isn't named, but we know that, and we'll see very quickly, about verse 10, for example, that Luke was with them because he says he puts himself in the company. They're in Troas. Now, Troas was a city that had been built up on the ruins of Troy. And we know about Troy because I'm sure that many of you out here, you've read the Iliad, you've read the Odyssey, you have read the Aeneid maybe, and you know about the war that was fought in Troy between the Greeks and the Trojans. And Troy was destroyed, and of course the city, in those days they tended to just rebuild cities on the old foundation. And here it's Troas, and Troas is on the Dardanelles. Right on the Dardanelles, right, and on the Asia side in what we would call Turkey. And that night a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia, a Macedonian, and prayed him, saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us. Come over and help us." The cry of the Macedonian. And after he had seen the vision, immediately in verse 10, notice Luke is in it now, endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Now, why is this so exciting? Because this guy talking to you, and most of you who are listening to me probably, are European in your ancestry. Some of you are not. Many of you are African. Some of you may be American Indian. I don't know who or what you are, but a lot of you are European. And here we have Paul and Silas and Timothy, and they come up to the Dardanelles. And here at the Dardanelles, they are looking across the water to Europe, to the mainland of Europe, lying off in the distance, probably almost like a cloud over there. Probably couldn't see it very clearly. And this Macedonian in a vision calling them, "Come over and help us." Come over and help us do what? These are Greeks over there. These are Macedonians. And yet they are lost. Come and help us. Come over. This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.